Okay, we are on Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara is looking why the Mishnah said A is a number Chamesh Esrei, 15, and why did the Mishnah end Hari Elu, which seems to exclude others. So yesterday the Gemara offered that is to exclude two halachas that are said later on, that the Mishnah is letting you know it disagrees with those two halachas. One was Rav's halacha, and I will review it quickly, and that is Tzaras Saita, which means Reuven and Shimon was married to two wives. None of them were related to Reuven, but Shimon, one of Shimon's wife was Mizana, and Shimon died before he could divorce her. So Reuven, based on Sukkim, Rav is going to bring later on, that Reuven can't be Miyabim, neither the woman that was Mizana, nor the other woman, and that it not only can't be Miyabim, but there's no Mitzvah Chalitza as well. That is the first thing. We're in the Mishnah saying, we don't agree to that. There is Yibum and Chalitza for the Tzara of the Saita. That's what one of these exclusions is coming to exclude. And the other one was Rav Asi's halacha. Rav Asi said a person married to an islandess knew she was an islandess, and he wanted to marry her anyway, which is perfectly legal. And he also had another wife. Now we learn now from the pasuk that a woman that's not capable physically of ever having a child, meaning she's missing the body parts, which is an islandess, can't have the mitzvah of Yibum. So Rav Asi learns, not only does she not have the mitzvah of Yibum, but either does her tzara, her co-wife, and therefore Reuven would not be Miyabim or give Chalitza to any of the two of Shimon's wives. And by the Mishnah saying, Hari Elu, the Mishnah is excluding that. So according to this pshat, the Mishnah is arguing, so to speak, on Rav and on Rav Asi. Now, Rav and Rav Asi can't argue in a Mishnah. So obviously, they must have something else that the Mishnah excludes. Because if not, how could they argue on the Mishnah? Frank the Gemara, top line on Gimel Amud Beis. Le Rav le Rav Asi le Mutimai. So according to Rav and Rav Asi, what is it coming to exclude? And for the Gemara, Istvir Ludhadadi, if they agree to each other, meaning Rav agrees to Rav Asi, and Rav Asi agrees to Rav, so we have to find two things to exclude. So we find other two things. But these two things, as we will see, Chada Lemute Tzaras Mamemenes. Now this is a rabbinic halacha, and the Mishnah is coming to exclude this rabbinic halacha. And let me explain. We had a similar case in the Mishnah, but here is a slight twist. Shimon was married to Reuven's daughter, but Reuven's daughter was an 11-year-old girl. It was a rabbinic marriage. And he was married to a different wife. Right. So the Mishnah said, when Shimon dies, in that case, Reuven should give Chalitza, not Yibum, because it's really not a Tzaras Erva. Because, really, the daughter is only married rabbinically. Biblically speaking, she was never married to Shimon, and the other wife was. So therefore, but since rabbinically it's a Tzaras Erva, we say Chalitza no Yibam. That was the end of the Mishnah that we learned on Beis Amud Beis, the last line in the Mishnah. What happens in the following scenario? Same, but in one difference. Shimon is married to Reuven's daughter rabbinically, and he's married to a different wife. And Shimon dies. And the daughter gets up and says, I am walking out of the relationship to my ex-husband because I want to get out of the bond to my father. I'm not interested in this situation. And she has a right of miyun. She has a right of miyun while she's married to Shimon. She has a right of miyun after Shimon dies. She's removing, remember, miyun annuls the marriage as if it never happened. So this girl announces, after Shimon died, I am now annulling my marriage that was existent before. And therefore, I'm out of here. Right? Now, the co-wife is not even a Tzaras Erva rabbinically, because now there is no marriage between Shimon and Reuven's daughter. It was annulled retroactively by Reuven's daughter walking out now and being Mamaya now. Now, how that works, we'll learn about later. Zok the Gemara later on, that we still don't let Reuven do Yibum to the co-wife. Because since at the time of the death of Shimon, this looked to us like a tzaras erva, it appeared to the world like Shimon had two wives, and one of them was Reuven's daughter. Even though now Reuven's daughter was able to retroactively sever the relationship to Shimon, we still don't allow Reuven to do Yibum. We make him do Chalitza, but we don't let him do Yibum, even though really, it's not even a Tzaras Erva rabbinically anymore. Because this girl severed her relationship retroactively. So now she was never married to Shimon. So why shouldn't Reuven be able to do Yibum to the co-wife? The answer is, it looks like a Tzaras Erva. So our Mishnah, by saying the number 15, is saying that Tzaras Mema'enes needs Chalitza. It's not like the Ervas that don't need Chalitza. This kind of situation does need Chalitza. That's why the Mishnah said the number. You shouldn't think that if the girl was Mamayan, there's no mitzvah of Yibum and Chalitza, because once there's no Yibum, there's no Chalitza. In this case, really there should be a mitzvah of Yibum. We don't let Yibum because it looks like a Tzaras Erva, but there still is a mitzvah of Chalitza. Rashi. Tzaras Mema'enes. The brother had married a Yisai Mektana, the Isha Acheres. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I take it back. I'm going to add something. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I apologize. The Gemara takes it a step further. Because of what I said, that when Shimon is married to Reuven's daughter rabbinically, there is no mitzvah of Yibum, but there is a mitzvah chalitza. The Gemara wants to say, according to one man, the Amar at least, that if Shimon is married to any ketana, nothing to do with a relationship to Reuven, Shimon marries an 11-year-old girl and another wife biblically. Neither of the two is related to Reuven. And Shimon dies, and the 11-year-old girl does miyum. Now the truth is, this has zero to do with Reuven. None of them are related to him. Not the young girl, and not the other wife. But in people's eyes, they'll say, if we allow Yibum, in this case, to the other wife, not the young girl, people will say, oh, the young girl doesn't make a difference. She doesn't count. And therefore, even though there's no reason that we shouldn't allow Yibum, there is nothing wrong here. Both of these women are strangers. But we make Gzeira. We say we don't allow Yibum to any woman who was a co-wife of a young girl at the time of death, who walks out of the marriage, because people will think you can do the same with the daughter's co-wife. If we allow a young girl who walked out of the marriage to have her co-wife have Yibum, people will think that the same is true if the young girl was Reuven's daughter. And therefore, we say, whenever you have Shimon die and leave a young girl and another wife, and the young girl walks out retroactively, we still don't allow Yibum to the other woman. Because a gzeira, that if you allow it then, you'll allow it by the daughter who does miyun as well. I hope I explained myself. Let me go back and explain it again. The case in our Mishnah was, Shimon married Reuven's daughter rabbinically and another wife. And in that case we said, that if Shimon dies, no Yibum, because it's a rabbinic co-wife. And even if this young girl were to walk out now, there still would be no Yibum to the other woman, because at the time of death, it was a rabbinic co-wife, or it looked like a rabbinic co-wife. Now comes the other case. The two women are not related to Reuven, but one of them is a young girl, and she walks out of the marriage. So we say, if we're going to allow Yibum to the co-wife here, which we should, because nobody's related, there's no Tzaras Erva even rabbinically, but if we're going to do it, people will think that when a young girl walks out of a marriage, even if she is an Erva, we can do Yibum to the other one, and that we don't want. So therefore we said, according to this man, the Amar, any time when Shimon dies and leaves over a young girl and another wife, and the young girl walks out of the marriage, we do not allow Yibum to the co-wife as well. And that's across the board. Let's read Rashi. Tzaras Mema'enes. Ha'ishahoye lo'okiv Yisai Mektana. His brother was married to a young girl, v'isha acheres. Umeis. Umiya akana b'yavim zeh. And she walked out on this relationship. He b'tzaras asur alay, he can't marry either of the two. Even though we banned it rabbinically, because the hachisur midrabanami, it's only a rabbinic prohibition, and therefore the mitzvah of chalitza is still there biblically. In fact, there's a mitzvah yibum biblically, but we don't rabbinically allow him to do yibum. We make gzeira of the case when what the young girl is his daughter. That is one of the exclusions. And the second exclusion is the chadu lemute tsaras machzig rishasai. Okay, the halacha is as follows: anybody that marries a woman and divorces her, and then she marries a different woman, a man, and either the second husband died or divorced her, she's not allowed to remarry her first husband. That is called machzig rishasai. Usually, person divorces a woman, he can change his mind and he can remarry her. In a case when she married somebody else, and that marriage terminated, he cannot remarry her anymore. That is called Marzi Gushasai. It is a lav. It is a lav. What happens if Shimon violated that? He violated that. He married the woman after she got divorced. He remarried her. He violated the lav. Right? And then he died. And he left over this woman who was his gerusha that he brought back illegally, but it's valid, it's only allowed, and a different woman. So the halacha is, we don't allow yibum to any of the two women, and the Gemara is going to explain why. But we still have chalitza, because the reason of yibum, we'll see later on, doesn't apply to chalitza. So the Mishnah is saying, Hare Elu, that machzig rishasai, even though we ban yibum both to that woman and to her co-wife, but what is a mitzvah of chalitza, and the reason for that will be explained later on, we're not going to get involved in it now. So, Trashi, machzig rishasai, Achim Shigirish Achas Mishtei Nashav, Shimon divorced one of his wives, Benitzis La'achar, she married somebody else. The Avar, he transgressed the Gzira Lacha Mises Baila, and he took her back after her second husband died. Umeis B'lei Banim, and then Shimon had died without kids. Shteyan Asuras L'Yisyabim. You're both prohibited from Yibum. This is going to be a Gemara later on why. Ashmina Mat Uta the Masnisin the Chalitza Boy. So we really have two other cases that the Mishnah is coming to exclude. One is a case of Mamanas, and one is a case of Machzig Rishasai. That even the co-wife, there's no mitzvah of Yibum, they can't do Yibum, but there is a Chiyav Chalitza. We do separate the two, and why? It'll be a Gemara later on. And if Rav and Ravasi don't agree to each other, so then Chadu Lamuti de Chavrei, if they don't agree to each other, so then Rav can use one of them to exclude Ravasi's case, and Ravasi can use one of them to exclude Rav's case, and use the other and choose either to exclude Mamanas or Machzig Rishasai. If they agree to each other, they have to exclude the other two. If they don't agree to each other, they can exclude the other one, meaning Rav will exclude Ravasi's case and Ravasi will exclude Rav's case, and then the other one would be used, they could use for either Tzaras Mamanas or for Tzaras Machzig Rishasai. Frekta Gemara L'Rav L'Ravasi L'Sinu. But according to Rav and Ravasi, why isn't this mentioned in the Mishnah? According to Rav and Ravasi, yes.
Can I ask a question on the first case?
Yes.
I'm trying to follow the Rashi in the first case for Tzaras Mamanas. In other words, the person who has this two wives, one is a katana and one isn't, he doesn't have a brother. The brother died, and the mother or the brother married her off.
No. Okay, let's say yes. Doesn't make a difference. Yes. One of the two.
So that means the
katana was a rabbinic marriage.
Her brother married her off, let's say.
Or she married her, yeah, let's say that. Yes.
Okay, so in other words, there's a third brother who would be marrying her.
Whoa. there's two answers to your question. First of all, the case we're talking about is, it's not Reuven's daughter. It's no Erva. It's a stranger. The strange little girl, stranger meaning not related to anybody, was married off by her mother or her brother. And now she's married to Shimon Rabinically.
His brother had a Yisoma.
Shimon was married to a Yisai Mektana. Reuven's brother.
Who was Shimon's brother?
One second. Reuven's brother was married to a young girl. That's what that Rashi's saying. The brother was married to Shimon was married to a Yisai Mektana. That's what those words mean.
From his brother.
No. Why do you say that? The brother was married. What does Shahaya? What does Shahaya mean? The brother was married. Haya means married. Not born. Married. The brother had a wife that was a Yisai Mektana. That's what that line arises.
Okay, I misunderstood that. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Track to Gemara. L'Rav or L'Ravasi Lisninu. According to Rav and Ravasi, who hold, one of them holds, that a Saita, a woman that was Mazana, her and her co-wife, have no mitzvah of Chalitza or Yibum. And the other one holds that a islandess, a legal married islandess, her and her co-wife, there's no mitzvah of Chalitza or Yibum. So why didn't the Mishnah mention them as 70 ladies that have no mitzvah of Yibum Chalitza, not for them and not for their tzara? Why didn't the Mishnah list it? Isn't the Mishnah proof not like them? The Mishnah said there are 15 ladies that there is no mitzvah of Yibum to them or to their co-wife. I have 17 ladies that have no mitzvah of Yibum to them or their co-wife. One of them is if the woman was Mizana, and one of them is if the woman was an islandess and was legally married to Shimon. In both of those cases, neither that woman nor her co-wife would be subject to Chalitza or Yibum. So why doesn't the Mishnah mention it? Zakrashi, Lisninu Lusaita of Islandis Bahadi Hanak de Masnisan. Let's learn Saita and Islandis together with those of the Mishnah. Hayo Upaitra Sarasayam, because they absolve their tsaras. Ever the Gemara, Lafi Sha'ina Batsara Sara. Let me explain this. Let me try. And if anybody doesn't understand, please make me explain it again. In all the 15 cases of the Mishnah, we had the following possibility. Shimon was married to Reuven's daughter. Shimon died. Reuven can't do Yibum, not to his daughter, not to the co-wife. Then we had Levi came along and did Yibum to the co-wife. And then Levi died without children. Reuven can't do Yibum, not to Levi's wife that was once a co-wife, and not to his other wife. That's called a tsaras tsara. That means the Mishnah had a case that not only could Reuven not do Yibum to Shimon's wives, even if Levi took one perfectly legally, because Levi had no reason not to do Yibum to Shimon's wife, he took the other one, the one that was the co-wife of the daughter, and then Levi died without children, Reuven can't do Yibum not to that woman and not to Levi's other wife. That's called a tsaras tsara. Every one of the 15 cases in the Mishnah allowed for that story. Shimon was married to Reuven's maternal sister. Shimon died. Reuven can't do Yibum, not to his sister, and not to his co-wife. No Chalitza. Levi came and had no reason not to do Yibum. He did Yibum to that co-wife. And then Levi died without children. Reuven can't do Yibum or Chalitza to either one of Levi's two wives, because it's a tsaras tsara. That's what we explained in our Mishnah. In the case of Saita, that can never happen. Shimon was married to a woman. She was Mizana. She died. He died. Reuven can't do Yibum because one of those women is a Saita. Levi can't do Yibum for the same reason. So you'll never have a case of a Tzara Sara, because that Isser is not specific to Ruvain. It is not Ruvain's Erva. No brother can do Yibum here, because they're both, nobody can do Yibum, because this woman was Mizana and became Esaita. And her, she and her Tzara, Rav learns out from the Pasuk, or Mizal from the Mitzvah Chalitza or Yibum, whether it's Ruvain or Levi or any other brother, because it has nothing to do with a specific relationship to Ruvain. So the Mishnah didn't list it, because the Mishnah wanted to give you 15 cases that you can have a Tzara, and you can also have a Tzara Tzara. You can go to the next step, because an other brother could do Yibum. But in the case of Saita, or in the case of idleness, Shimon was married to a woman who he knew she was an idleness, and he willingly married her, and he had a co-wife, and he died without children. Rav Asi said, no mitzvah yibum or chalitza, not to the idleness, and not to the co-wife. That means neither Ruvain nor Levi can do the mitzvah of yibum or chalitza. This is not specific to Ruvain. It's not his erva. No brother can do the mitzvah of Yibum. So the Mishnah wanted to pick cases where you could have Tzara and Tzara Tzara. So therefore the Mishnah said there are 15 cases. Really, the Mishnah could have said 17 cases, but it wouldn't have been able to go to Tzara Tzara, because in the two other cases, no brother is allowed to do Yibum or Chalitza. And therefore, the Mishnah did not choose those cases, and therefore left them out, because it couldn't have continued the whole Mishnah. That's what Rav and Rav Asi say, why the Mishnah does not prove them wrong. Because the Mishnah couldn't list it, because it couldn't get to the case of Tzara, Tzara, Tzara. Rashi. V'she'ena b'tzara, Tzara. V'chol hanach d'masnisen, ikil l'misni. In all the 15 cases in the Mishnah, we can say, Holcha tzarasa, v'nisnes l'echav hasheni. The tzara went and married the second brother. Sharein erve l'lezeh. She's only an erve to this person. Abel l'echav hasheni ruyasein. She could marry the other brother. V'm yibum. Right? And the Mishnah said that if Levi, the third brother, would do Yibum even to the Tzara, and then he had another wife, and then he died. Now they're back to Ruvain, Ptura. Even that third lady, the Tzara Tzara, Neshi Tzara Tzara, Sheshabita. Avo besaita v'ailanis, but by the case of saita v'ailanis, lekilamisni hocha tzaras v'nachil lachav hasheni. You cannot say that the co-wife married Levi, the akola achim yasura, because the ban of tzara saita is not only to Ruvain, it's to all brothers. Sha'isru bala mikaya kedusha baila harishin. The isr comes from Shimon, because she was Shimon's saita, or she was Shimon's ailanis. That's why they can't do yibum or chalitza. But kulan shavim ben. All brothers are equal. Therefore, the Mishnah couldn't list them. That's what Rav and Rav Asi will answer you. Fine. Now the Gemara moves on. We finished explaining the order of the cases.
I'm sorry, Rav Yitzchak?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Why can't they marry the islanders?
Because we're going to see this later. But the Pasuk says, Asher Teled, the woman has to be capable physically, have all the tools that's necessary to give birth. Now, I'm being very careful, because if an 85-year-old lady follows Yibum Chalitza, we don't say since she can't give birth, she's pater from Yibum Chalitza. She's not. Because she has the physical tools, she's just too old. Whereas an islandess never had the ability to have kids. She was lacking the physical parts of her body that are necessary to produce children. That's why I'm stressing that aspect. It has nothing to do with the practical ability to have children. It has to do with the physical parts of the body to have children.
And Rabbi, what if she had had a hysterectomy? She had had it once and they had been removed surgically.
That's an interesting question. I don't know the answer. My gut feeling says she's now an islandess, but I don't want to postulate that. I don't know. It's a great question. Practically speaking, it's a great question. I don't know. It's a good question. I really don't know. I don't know. The Gemara never discusses it. Hysterectomies did not happen in the time of the Gemara. So the Gemara never discusses it. I am sure that there are Achrayim that do discuss it. I don't know. It's a good question. I'll try to look it up for a second, but I don't know the answer. I honestly don't know the answer. I don't know. I don't know. Something I should be able to find out about, but it's a great question.
Thank you.
Okay, so we finished explaining the order of the Arvus. We finished explaining why the Mishnah used the word Peturais, not Asurais. We finished explaining why it says Chalitza before Yibum. And we finished explaining why the Mishnah gave us a number and then said again, Hari Elu. So we have our Mishnah down straight as far as the first set of the first part of the Mishnah. We've explained everything in it. Why the order, why Pturais, why Chalitza before Yibum, and why Hari Elu, and why Chamesh Esrei. Now we're moving on to know, what is the source of our Mishnah? Why is there no mitzvah of Chalitza and Yibum? Every brother's wife is an Erva, and the Torah made a mitzvah of Yibum. So why isn't there a mitzvah of Yibum if she happens to be his daughter or his wife's sister or any of the thing? Where is the source that there's no mitzvah of Chalitza Yibum for her and not for her co-wife? Where does that come from? Zakti Gemara Menahani Mili. Where is the source of these halachas? Zakrashi Menahani Mili, Derva Erva, Vitzarasa, Vitzara Sarasa, La'ilam Pturis. That all these women are always butter. What is the source? The pasuk is not talking about Yibum. The pasuk is talking about the erva called a wife's sister. So the pasuk says, a woman to her sister do not take that they should be co-wives, meaning do not marry both wives at the same time, both these ladies at the same time. Legalos ervasa aleha, to reveal her erva, b'chayeha, as long as one of the women are alive. Meaning, this is the one erva, as we spoke out, that if the person's wife died, he could marry her sister, because the Torah said, b'chayeha. The word aleha is extra. The pasuk could have said the same thing. Isha l'chaysa, l'sikach litzrar, l'galois, ervasa, b'chayeha. What is the word aleha doing here? It's an extra word. The same message the Torah could have given without using the word aleha. And the truth is, litzroy is also extra. Isha l'chaysa l'sikach l'gala zervasa b'chayah. Obviously, you can't take them to be co-wives. That's what it's saying. What do I need the word litzroy? And what do I need the word aleha? But first we're going to concentrate on aleha, and then we're going to come back what we do with the word litzroy. Zok de b'raisa. The reason we need Allah is because of the following. It says in Parashas Kiseitse, this is a pasuk in Parashas Achrelais. Isha l'chaysa l'sikach litzar, l'galas avesa Allah b'chayeha. This is the pasuk that says, do not marry a wife, your wife's sister, while your wife is alive, while one's wife is alive. Allah matam alaymar. What's the purpose of the word Allah? Because in Parshas Kiseitse it says, I think it's in Kiseitse, Yavomo Yavoy Aleha, that a person has a mitzvah of Yibum to his brother's wife if the brother died without children. Notice, it says the word Aleha. Shemeyani, I would think, Afila Bachas Mikola Rai Samuris Batira, that the mitzvah of Yibum even is that the brother's wife happened to be a different erva. She was your daughter. She was the person's daughter. She was the person's sister. She had another erva. Maybe there's a mitzvah of Yibum. It says, Yavama Yavi Allah, marry your brother's wife, regardless whether she's related to you or not. Namar Khan Allah. The answer is Gzeirah Shava, handed down from Sinai. It says in the world, it says over here the word Allah, by the mitzvah of Yibum. The Namar Lahalan Allah. And it says the word Allah by marrying a wife's sister. Ma'alahalam b'mokka mitzvah. The pasuk of Yibum is talking about when there's a mitzvah of Yibum. Avkam b'mokha mitzvah. Aleha says that this Isser of marrying your wife's sister is even in a case when there's Yibum. The word Allah is telling you, hello, Allah means even when there's Yibum. Because Xerah Shava says that Allah is talking in a case of Yibum. And the Torah is saying, you cannot marry your wife's sister even if it's Yibum. That's what the extra word Allah is teaching me. That's the source that you can't do Yibum to an Erva. Because, at least to your wife's sister. Because the Torah said, do not marry your wife's sister while your wife is alive. While one person's wife is alive. And the Torah threw in the word Aleha, an extra word. Xerah Shava tells me that the word Aleha has to tell me, even in a case of Yibum, because the case of Yaleha, Yivama Yavi Aleha, is by Yibum. So Xerah Shava says that even if it's a mitzvah of Yibum, one is not allowed to marry their wife's sister. That tells me that the Erva of Achais Isha, we don't know any other Erva yet, at this point we only know Achais Isha, that the Erva of Achais Isha is prohibited from Yibum, and therefore has no mitzvah of Chalitza. That tells me the Erva itself. That just tells me the Erva. Tarasa Minayin. How do I know that the co-wife is Aser and has no mitzvah of Yibum? Talmud Leimer Litzroer. The extra word litzroer means the co-wife as well. Leisikach litzroer, Pashup Shat means don't take her as a co-wife. We're saying don't take even the co-wife in the case of Aleha. Vainly al Tarasa. That tells me one step. Tsaras Tarasa Minayin. How do I know if Levi married this woman? And then it's Levi has the co-wife and his wife. How do I know that's Aser? Talmud Leimer Litzroer, Beloy Lutzer. Could have said Lutzer. Litzroer is an extra resh. To tell me that even the second Tzara is included as well. The second level Tzara. Rashi. Allah Amal Talmud Leimer. Lichtem Legalis Avasim. Yes.
Yeah, but what does the word litzur mean anyhow?
To be tsaris to each other, to be co-wives with each other. That's the pashup shot. One should not marry his wife's sister, that they should be co-wives. That's the pashup shot in the pasuk.
Oh, but, well, I mean, when you marry, if you would marry her, you're a co-wife, you don't have to tell me that.
That's why it's an extra, exactly. Thank you for recognizing that it's an extra pasuk. You're right.
Oh, so it has nothing to do with the extra
race
or whatever it is.
Well, no, it does have to do with the extra race. The whole word is extra. So the word comes to tell me that just like one cannot marry an Erva by Yibum, we learned that out from the word Aleha, one can't marry a Tzara either. But how about Tzara's Tzara? How do I know when it goes further than that? Maybe it's only Tzara. How do I know it includes Tzara's Tzara? So the extra resh, by writing litzroer instead of lotzu, which are told us the same thing, is to tell me it goes on to the next step as well.
How about the step after that?
But once it goes on to the second step, that shows me that it has to do with the fact that it's a brother's wife without a mitzvah, so that it continues on its own. Meaning, the second step I need, because I could misunderstand the halacha of Tzara Serva. I could say that the ban is not because it's a brother's wife without a mitzvah, it's a ban because she was a Tzara Serva. Right? The third one is not a Tzara Serva. But once we say Litzroer, it tells me that since she was a brother's wife when there was no mitzvah, she's permanently Usher because she's his brother's wife with no mitzvah. I hope I'm explaining myself. Did I explain myself? Again.
As usual, yes. Yes. Rabbi, can I gently ask about Rabbi Cohen's observation? Why do we assume that Litzroer is superfluous here? I mean, it's hard for any of us to imagine, I think, what it's like to have two wives, and certainly, obviously, what it's like to be a multiple wife. But we're always talking about how in those days this was a large there's a large survival component to it and an economic component to it. Maybe with the amount of work that had to be done physically, Maybe we can't just generalize that a woman did not or was resentful or was a rival to a second wife. Is this just so self-evident that psychologically that it just should?
So if I'm understanding your question, you're not dealing with the word being superfluous or not being superfluous. You are bothered by the name Sarah to this co-wife. Is that what's bothering you?
No, I thought Rabbi Cohen had just said, at least for in the pasuk that we're using, is superfluous, because whenever you have two wives, they're going to feel a rivalry between each other. I thought that was his point. Maybe I misunderstood.
Right.
See, again,
okay, so the truth is, we're not getting involved in that. The way the Torah describes two wives is as a rivalry. Whether it is or not, the Torah refers to a person who has two wives, that the two wives are rivals. That's how the Torah refers to them. Why? We can get to in a minute. But the question here is...
It's a psychological description.
What? That's how the Torah describes two wives. That's the psychological description. And I understand it, because no matter how much you need each other, but automatically, there's one person that everybody's vying for his attention. Who is he going to spend more time with? Who is he going to give the extra thing to? Who's going to be the one that is his favorite wife? Inevitably, no matter how much they need each other, and their sisters even could be theoretically, right? But the bottom line is, they're now competing for one man's attention. And inevitably, there's going to be an element of rivalry. Now, some women will be able to rise above it. But you cannot look at the fact that when you have two people vying for the same thing, there's rivalry. It's inevitable. Now, it might be subtle, but the bottom line is, there's one man, and two women have to get him and share his attention. In the best scenario where you split it up evenly, the bottom line is, each one is still going to think or look to see that she's not the second wife. She's number one, not number two. And therefore, I think the Torah refers to it inevitably as a rival, which the Torah allowed, by the way, that a person can have multiple wives and they can be rivals. But inevitably, they're rivals. That's what it is. There's no way around it. They are rivals. And that's how the Torah refers to it. Over here, the word is superfluous because by saying don't marry a wife's sister, it's saying don't make them co-wives. Don't make them rivals. Why did the Torah have to say the word rivalry? So we're taking the word out of Litzar and saying it's being used for the case of Yibum. But we didn't allow Yibum to the Erva, so the Torah wrote Litzar not to allow Yibum to the Tzara's Erva as well. And by writing two races, the Torah is saying not only the Tzara, but all subsequent Tzara's of that as well, Tzara's Sarasa as well. Rashi. Yes.
So what the Torah wants to do is avoid problems by making two sisters enemies, right?
No, that's not what the Torah wanted to do. The Torah doesn't want a person married to two sisters for whatever reason. Just like the Torah doesn't want a person to marry his own sister. Just like the Torah doesn't want to marry his brother's wife when there's no mitzvah of Yibum. The Torah made this an erva. The Torah used the word, don't make them rivals. Right, because over here, it's different than every other erva. Because the minute one of them dies, the person's allowed to marry the other. So obviously the Torah doesn't allow it. But by the way, if he divorces his wife, he cannot marry her sister, even though they're not rivals. The Torah just used the word, a person shouldn't marry their wife's sister and make them rivals. Make them rivals is superfluous. It's understood. Don't marry a wife's sister because we don't want that erva. Whatever reason you want to give to it. But the word is extra. Now, if you would tell me that during the time, if he divorces her, he can marry his wife's sister, so then you can make an argument that the Torah is allowing a wife's sister only when they're not rivals. But it's not true, because if he divorces his wife, he's not allowed to marry her sister anyway, even though they're not rivals anymore. So therefore, the word litzar is extra. Rashi. I'm sorry? Okay.
Rashi,
Alel Amatam Leimar, Lichtayv, that God is a vasa b'chaya. But Tishma Nami, you know, Shabachaya Ishtan Aseres Ola Bachaisa, during the lifetime of one's wife, her sister is Aser, Ulachem Yisumuteres, and after she dies, he can marry her. Even if one of the harayas fall the yibum, she should be able to have yibum. Litzroer, tzoris harba mashma. Litzroer means many tzoris. Midlaksev, lotzer. Fine. So we figured out that a person cannot do yibum to his wife's sister, nor can he do yibum to her tzara, nor to her tzara's tzara. But that's one erva. How do I know any other erva? How about if his daughter falls the yibum, his sister falls the yibum? The Torah wrote this by one of the ervas, wife, sister. How do we pass this on to include all ervas? Where do we see that it includes all ervas? Zok to Gemara. That tells me the bride continues. That only tells me a wife, sister. Shar arayas minayin. How do I know other arayas? Amrit, I will say it's logical. Ma'achois ishim yuched eshi erva. And by the way, the Gemara is going to question this logic later on. We're just going to learn the Braisa. Just like achois isha is specific, she's an erva. V'chayav mazdoin karis. And if one were to violate it willingly and live with his wife's sister, he'd be chayav karis. V'ashid yigasva, if he did it by mistake, he'd be chayav chatas. And asur liyavim. And the Torah said, no yibum. So av kol shi erva, anything that is the same, that's an erva. V'chayavim azdai nekares ashe gigasa chatas. Any other erva that carries with it the punishment of karas b'mezen and chatas b'shaygig makes sense, asur liyabim. It's a logical comparison. Why should a wife's sister be different than any other chayvikrisis? And over here we don't allow yibum, we ban yibum. And we ban Yibum from the Tzara as well, as we're going to see in a moment. So the same thing is true by all other Arayas. And the Braisa speaks it out. Mainly Elohim. That's how I learn not Ervas. Tzareseya Minayin. How do I know the Tzara of other Ervas are forbidden it? Ma'a Chais Isha Miyuchedas. Chais Isha specific. She Erva. V'chayavim alzdoi nekaris v'ashin yasachatas. V'asur liyavim. And she's also to the Yavim. V'tzaras asura. And the tzar is aser. Of kol she erva, b'chayav mazdai nekares, v'ashin gasachatas. Everything that's an erva, that includes mezit karas and shaygit chatas, v'asura liyavim, and is aser to yavim, tzaras asura, the tzar is also aser. Mikan amru. Mikan amru. I'm sorry, is somebody talking to me? I'm sorry?
Come on down.
Mikan Amru, Chachamim, Chamesh Esrei Nashim, Poitra Sarasayim, Batsara Sarasayim, Minachalitza Minayibu Matzai Failam. It goes to Tzara Sarah, to the next case, to the next case. So the source is Achais Isha. And then we make a logical comparison. The properties, what Achais Isha has is Dainakaris, Shigigasachatas, and the Torah said no Yibum. So any other erva that's Dainakaris and Shigigasachatas, there's no Yibum. And by Achais Isha we said not only is there no Yibum and Chalitza by this woman, but even by her co-wife, so by all other ervas, there's no mitzvah of Chalitza of Yibum, not only by the erva, but even by the co-wife. Rashi.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Yerachmiel, can you... I can't hear anything.
I know. Because Yerachmiel, can you mute yourself? Yerachmiel, can you mute yourself? Thank you. Yes.
Daniel, why can't we say this?
Yachmiel is screaming in the back. Okay, yes.
Marach Achaz Isha, which there is a kula, where if she would die, you can marry the sister. If you hachi at this situation, it's usher for Yibum, called the Chaymer. All the other Arayas,
that is never a heter for the lady, for sure, that why can't you learn it from the Kama Chomer?
You probably could. I mean, the Gemara is going to get involved in this later on. I don't remember exactly. It's in Daf, I think in Daf Zayin and Daf Ches. The Gemara is going to get involved in this thing. You could, but the Gemara makes a straight comparison. You're right. Kavu Chomer is a little bit stronger than a straight comparison, but it's the same idea. It's a logical comparison. Either you can do it with a equals, or you can make it with a Kavu Chomer, but it's the same halacha. It's no difference in its result. The result is the same.
Might be a better method.
Okay, I have no good answer for you. I don't have a good answer.
Is that form to Einish in the din? This is not really Einish.
We're not learning an Einish. We're taking away the mitzvah of Yibum.
You know, that doesn't fall into that category. Okay.
Right. I don't think, again, this is going to be discussed in the Gemara Dav Ches. Don't remember all the particulars. The Gemara is going to go through this limud and show why it does work, why it doesn't work. There's going to be a whole sugya of zayin and beis and dabches. Zaktrashi, zayin akaris, the parashas harayis, ksev basar kulu. It says at the end of the 15 ervis, benichrasu hanafashas haisis. That's how I know there's karis, because at the end of the parsha it says all the arayas we listed get karis. This is in the parsha, I think it's in Pekdashim. The chosh is dina karis, shigigas a chatas, kidiyahu beperkin. And chatas is derived because the Gemara will bring a drasha that everything that b'mezid carries with it the punishment of karis, b'shigig has chatas. Tezvav nashim, su leka arayas b'karis. There's no other arayas that have karis. Chutz. Now here comes something we haven't mentioned yet. Sheish arayas shemishnaseinu she'em behem tzad yibum lo'ilam. There's six ervas that can never fall to yibum. That's why they're not included in the 15. Because no brother is allowed to marry them, and therefore it's impossible that they should be the brother's wife. And those six ervas, I'm going to mention what they are. Those six ervas are his mother, right? Reuven's mother can never marry Shimon because it's his father's wife. Or another wife that was a father. Again, Shimon can never marry her. Or his father's sister. How could Shimon marry his father's sister? It's the same erva to him as it is to Reuven. Or his paternal sister. Reuven's paternal sister is Shimon's paternal sister. Remember, Reuven and Shimon have to be paternal brothers for there to be a mitzvah of Yibum. Or his father's brother's wife. Or Levi's wife. Levi, the third brother, died, and his wife, there was no mitzvah of Yibum. She's an heir to both Reuven and Shimon. Those are six women that can never fall to Yibum because they can never be married to the brother. If they're married, they have to be married to strangers. They can't be married to Reuven's brother because they're an heir to Reuven's brother as well, which means Kedushin can't work. Remember, Kedushin cannot work in a Chayvei Krisus. So these six ervas are not part of the 15. Not because they're not ervas. They can be ervas, they're Chayv Karis, they're Katas, but they can never fall to Yibum. Because to fall to Yibum, it has to be someone that's married to a brother. These six cannot be married to Reuven's brother, because they're ervas to him as well. The 15 in our Mishnah could be Reuven's erva and not be Shimon's erva. But the six that are not listed in our Mishnah are Reuven and Shimon's erva. So you can never have a case where they are married to Shimon and we have a question of Yibum, because they can never be married to Shimon. That's why our Mishnah listed 15, not 21. Because there are six other ervas, but they're not possible to the parish of Yibum. And since they're not possible to the parish of Yibum, they're not listed in our Mishnah. That's what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying, Chutz Mishesh Arayesh HaMishnah Seinu, which is in the next Mishnah, She'em Bam Tzad Yibum Lo'ilam. There's no possibility of Yibum, because they can never be a brother's wife. And therefore, they're not listed in our Mishnah, they're listed separately, because they cannot be a brother's wife. He will stop over here. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos. Sunday morning, 6:30.
Happy Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Be well.
Thank you.